Marshalltown's Park and Recreation Department received a $50,000 grant from the Iowa DNR. Director Kelsey Stafford says they partnered with Trees Forever to do a tree inventory and forest management plan.
What that will do is just inform us on what trees we have, help us get better diversity with our trees throughout the city, and that will help us in the future with things like the tornado disaster that we had, the derecho, emerald ash borer, just help us have a healthier canopy overall for the future.
The tree canopy, especially on the north side of town, is slowly coming back, but this process will not happen overnight. It'll take many years to bring back the full canopy. Now is the time of the year where people are doing their spring cleanup, both inside their homes and outside. Part of that cleanup process should be to check in on your first aid kits at home. Sydney Gruel, Marshall County Public Health Director, shares some key items to keep in your first aid kit.
Band-Aids, gauze, some triple antibiotic ointment, different things for stings or bites. Also, tick removers are a good thing to have, especially here in Iowa.
Gruel says it really depends on your lifestyle and what you do day to day on those special items to keep in your kit. She then reminds people it is important to check your first aid kit to make sure it's stocked, but also
make sure you check them because things expire and make sure you don't leave them out too often in the heat because it might affect the efficacy of different things like your Band-Aids or if there's any medication in there and things like that.
One item Gruel suggests is rubber or latex gloves for personal protection.
I know the like butterfly stitches are a good thing, you know, in case you do have a kiddo that hurts themselves while playing at home or even yourself if you're doing some yard work.
Gruel suggests a main first aid kit for your home that's fully stocked and a smaller kit for your vehicle while you're out on the go. Announced yesterday, the Marshall County Conservation will be holding their night prairie burn on Thursday, April 16th. They're advising people to meet at the Grimes Farm shelter tomorrow night at 7:30. There'll be some education about why the prairie burn is needed, then a display of how to do the prairie burn safely. For more information or questions, people can reach out to the Grimes Farm Nature Center or head to their Facebook page, Marshall County Conservation Board. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and Detective Craig Legischult with the Marshalltown Police Department wants people to know there are support here in our community. People can always share their story with the Marshalltown Police Department and work with the impact advocates, but also there's a nonprofit called ACCESS.
ACCESS stands for Assault Care Center Extending Shelter and Support. So they provide advocates for not only sexual assault, but also domestic violence and other violent crimes. And so they provide an advocate for somebody to be with them through the entire process. They can be with them while they're making reports to police, while they are getting medical treatment, and even through the court process, which can be quite a ways down the road. But they're there to provide support whatever is needed.
To see all the services ACCESS offers, people can head to their website, assaultcarecenter.org, or call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. That number is posted at 1230kfjb.com. The Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau has released the numbers for the recent statewide hands-free driving law enforcement effort. The numbers show 551 hands-free citations were given to drivers, and there were 329 hands-free warnings written as well. The project started last Monday and went through Friday, April 6th through 10th. It was the first statewide effort since law officers started writing tickets for violations on January 1st. The Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau says a total of more than 3,600 citations and 3,100 warnings have been issued in that time. Much of central Iowa will be facing the potential of severe storms this afternoon. The National Weather Service has rated this storm a 2 out of 5, which means the primary threats are damaging wind and large hail. There is a small chance of tornadoes or flash flooding, but the highest risk for those tornadoes is the I-80 corridor here in central Iowa. It goes from Atlantic City to Iowa City, east and west, and from right here, Marshalltown, down to Osceola, going north and south. The storm should hit most people in the early afternoon. A bill that could pave the way for eighth graders to participate in all high school sports is on its way to the governor's desk. Representative Henry Stone, a Republican from Forest City, says it would expand on current policy.
Currently, eighth graders can play baseball and softball in the summer.
The bill directs the Iowa Department of Education to consult with the organizations that oversee Iowa high school athletes and come up with rules for determining how moving eighth graders into fall, winter, and spring sports could work. Senator Mike Zimmer of DeWitt, a retired teacher and coach, opposes the move.
If any school in Iowa, public school in Iowa, is having difficulty filling a roster, they can enter into a sharing agreement with the neighboring school. We've been doing it for years. Bringing up 8th graders, 13-year-olds, to be competing with 18 and 19-year-olds, I'm trying to figure out why would we be doing this?
Zimmer says while it could help 8th graders ease into the transition to high school and keep their grades up in order to remain eligible to play, there's a greater risk of injury when competing against older, bigger students with better skills. Senator Tom Shipley, a Republican from Nodaway, who voted for the bill, says he doesn't necessarily disagree with Zimmer's sentiments.
However, I think we can let the superintendent or the administrators, coaches, and particularly the parents figure out whether this is going to be the right thing to do for these kids.
The bill's original aim is to reduce the time a student who transfers to another school via open enrollment has to sit out before they can participate in varsity sports. Under current law, they are to sit out for 90 consecutive school days. Senator Shipley says the bill changes that to 140 calendar days.
The need for this comes from the fact that a number of schools are moving to a four-day week, and the 90 consecutive days of enrollment makes it more difficult for students to participate.
If the governor signs the bill into law, the new policy on students who switch schools through open enrollment will take effect August 1st. The policy on eighth graders' potential participation in high school sports could take effect on August 1st, too, if the rules are in place. 13 states currently allow eighth graders to compete at the high school level during the school year. The Des Moines Fire Department says medics recently were able to give a blood transfusion to the patient before transport to the hospital for the first time under a pilot program. Lieutenant Dan Davis says medics gave blood to a security guard who had been stabbed at the Polk County's Life Services Center.
It was recognized right away that this person was critical. They were able to jump on it right away, and they knew well and, you know, ahead of the time the patient got in the back of the squad that they were ready to go with the blood.
He says the blood helped keep the security guard alive until he could get to the hospital.
He was really starting to go downhill, and when they gave him the blood, it kind of leveled him off until he could get to the hospital and have the trauma surgeons take a look at him and start working on him.
Davis says this was a case where the pilot program that has blood in the ambulance paid off.
I believe he ended up getting 30 or more units of blood during the whole process. I'm not sure that he would have survived without it.
The Des Moines and West Des Moines Fire Department started the pilot program back in November of last year to carry blood for transfusions. It was adapted from a process used by the military to treat wounded soldiers in the field to stabilize them. The goal is eventually to extend the program statewide. State law lets minors get health care that's related to the prevention and treatment of sexually transmitted diseases without a parent's permission, but there's a bill that was passed by the legislature to reverse that. More on that after this.
Free up your countertop with the versatility of a KitchenAid multifunction over-the-range microwave oven. Designed for flush installation within a standard 12 3/4 inch cutout, this space-saving appliance combines an air fryer, toaster oven, convection oven, microwave, and ventilation hood. Shop now at the Appliance Doctor and conquer countertop clutter. Appliance Doctor, 3102 South 6th Street in Marshalltown. When your appliance is sick, call the doctor.
And welcome back. 1210, we're at 65, cloudy skies with more KFJB News.
State law lets minors get health care that's related to the prevention and treatment of sexually transmitted diseases without a parent's permission, but a bill passed by the legislature would no longer let minors get vaccinated against HPV and hepatitis B without a parent's permission. Republican Representative Austin Harris of Moulton says parental consent is required for other vaccines, and the bill ensures parents give consent for vaccinations against hepatitis B and HPV.
And no one is questioning the efficacy of the vaccine. It's effective. I agree with that. But if it's so great, then it should be pretty easy to convince the parent to do this for the child.
The hepatitis B vaccine helps prevent liver cancer, and the HPV vaccine prevents 6 types of cancer. Representative Austin Baith, a Democrat from Des Moines who's a doctor, says if the governor signs the bill into law, fewer kids will get these vaccines.
We have, with these vaccines, a way to save people's lives. And in a state with the fastest rising cancer rates, the second highest cancer rate overall, we should be doing more to prevent cancer, not less.
Republican Representative Jeff Shipley of Fairfield says if a doctor wants to vaccinate a child, convincing the child's parents that it's a good idea is a reasonable step that should be required by Iowa law. Iran threatens to retaliate after the U.S. military on Monday blockaded Iranian ports in the Strait of Hormuz, but Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says there are reasons for some optimism. He says there are efforts to prompt the U.S. and Iran to restart negotiations before the ceasefire runs out next week. Estimates on the cost of the war are varied, ranging from $1 billion per day between $30 and $45 billion since the first U.S. airstrikes back on February 28. Gasoline prices remain high in Iowa and nationwide, as AAA Iowa says the current statewide average is $3.66 a gallon, compared to $2.99 a year ago. Federal rules currently restrict E15 sales from June through mid-September because of air quality concerns, and Congress has failed to pass legislation approving year-round use. Powerful storms moved over eastern Iowa Tuesday night, bringing reports of tornadoes, large hail, and high winds. Delaware County Emergency Management Coordinator Mandy Bieber says there are multiple reports of damage.
Right along the Highway 20 corridor, we saw machine sheds and outbuildings damaged, lots of trees down, power lines down. With the heavy rain, we have some washed out roads, lots of field tile ditch flooding.
There were sheet metal roofs ripped off in Independence, where a barn lost its roof, and hail 3.5 inches in diameter north of Independence. Tornadoes are reported near Winthrop and near Masonville. Power lines are down in Delaware County. Heavy damage to farm buildings and wooden stakes impaled into the ground in the Delhi area, and wind gusts of 88 miles an hour recorded at the Dubuque Regional Airport.